Well, our next speaker is Brother David Kirkham. But you probably figured that out already by looking at your program and seeing him sitting here with me. I love Brother David very much. In a world that seems obsessed with political correctness and wavering on various points, I love Brother David because his concern is scriptural correctness. Doing the will of God and doing it with zeal. And I love that. He's chosen a very interesting subject for us. Children of Light. That's you. So you'll especially want to listen. Children of Light, Watchers Extraordinaire. Brother David.
Thank you, Brother Obie. I wish that kind introduction were all true, but we all have our failings, and I have my fights, let me tell you. First of all, I need to bring the love of the North Seattle Bible students, and also I was charged to bring the love of Sister Ginger Brand. It was given also yesterday during testimony meeting, and I'm sure that she and Brother Michael could use an interest in your prayers. Well, Brother Obie got the title just about right. But the way it should go is, Children of Light, Watchers Extraordinaire. We hear and refer to the term Children of Light on a continual basis. But what does it mean to be a child of light? What is this light that is referred to? How is it obtained or given? Why do some have it and others don't? Why do some lose the light that they are given while others receive more? Now, many more questions could be posed, but this list should be sufficient to whet our appetites for a further understanding of this particular subject. In considering this subject, we were struck with the importance of fulfilling the commandment to be watchers, and how we can only hope to obtain and retain this light if we are maximizing our efforts to be watchers as defined by God's holy word. And so we will spend the majority of our time considering what it means to be a watcher and to watch. Those who are watching know that we are in or are approaching the severest part of the hour of temptation, which was to come upon the whole world, to try them that dwell upon the earth, Revelation 3:10. To protect our anointing, to reach our goal, we must stay focused upon and supremely loyal to the light of truth that has been given to us. Brethren are being sorely tested everywhere along this line. There is the test of time, which for some turns the reality of prophecy fulfilled and prophecy in process of fulfillment into doubts and rejection of proven truth in favor of cunning sophistry, worldly reasoning, and vain philosophy. There is the test of fewer members, which rather than taken as clear evidence that the harvest nears its end, brings some to reject the truth of the reality and to go out and embrace many who have not the light of the truth so that they can regain their misplaced comfort in numbers, so that they can take pride in their tolerance for the opinions of others, so that they can take pride in their generosity in embracing those they disagree with as brethren, for their broad-mindedness as exhibited by their willingness to tolerate many different persuasions. Not for the sake of knowing the truth, but for the sake of tolerance itself. And what is tolerance? It's not a principle. It's nothing more than a reaction to a stimulus or a set of circumstances. It has no intrinsic value of its own. There is the test of easy living, of an incredible increase in wealth, knowledge, and the resulting process of removing the sweat of the brow. This is accompanied by envy and discontent. when the opposite should be true. And of course, there are many other elements of the hour of temptation, but that is another subject for another day. Hence, all of us should readily see the importance of this subject. In John 8:12, we read, Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And so we see here in the beginning of the gospel age that our Lord was spoken of as the light of the world. And he was the only one with it. In John chapter 12, verses 35 to 36, we read, Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may, what? Be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed, and did hide himself from them. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 6 to 11. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 to 6. And there's some very key phrases in this particular set of scriptures. But of the times and seasons, you see the emphasis on in these texts? The times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that, and here's another one, the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, another important phrase, then sudden destruction, another one, cometh upon them as what? Travail upon a woman. What are we getting here? We're getting sign after sign after sign of what? The day of the Lord. And they shall not escape. Complete destruction. The ultimate goal. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all children of light and the children of day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Now we're going to read a series of scriptures now, which we believe are related to each other as far as this particular subject is concerned. We think there's a connection between all of these. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And so one of the identifiers, and one of the ways we identify each other, and we know that we are children of light, is that we speak according to the word. This is an outward indicator. Isaiah chapter 52, verses 7 and 8. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth. Now here we have some doctrine mentioned. And these who have the light will be speaking forth these doctrines. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. So who is it that sees eye to eye? The watchman. And only the watchman, no one else. Matthew chapter 24, verses 27 to 28. For the sunrise cometh out of the east, that is the Epiphania, and shineth unto the west, so shall also the presence of the Son of Man be. And so, just stopping there for a second, we have the privilege of seeing the day dawn. We have the privilege of seeing the sun rise. And as we know, the world is in the opposite condition. They see the sun darkening and the moon turning to blood. The influence of the light that they could have from the Holy Scriptures, from the presence of the children of light on earth, darkens. But we see the sun rise. And then verse 28, for wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered. And so wherever this carcass, we'll talk about this a little later, is, there will be these children of light. There will be the eagles. This is just a flat-out assertion and statement of fact given here in Matthew 24. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, we're all familiar with. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now here we believe that waiting implies a test of time. A test of time. Matthew chapter 24, verses 45 to 46. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh or arriveth, shall find so doing. And so here we see the connection to the meat and the eagles gathering to the carcass. And we'll have more on this later. In Matthew 13, chapter 10 and 11, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. And so we see the aspect here that these that are given the light are chosen. They are a chosen priesthood. Revelation chapter 11, verses 15 to 18. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and thou shouldest give reward unto the saints, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And so here we have, with the seventh angel sounding, we have a synopsis of the entire plan of God, in particular those things that would take place in the seventh period of the church, which is the harvest period. So here we see the importance again of these great prophecies being fulfilled, these doctrinal truths that would unfold, and that the children of light would see these things and possess them. In this regard, we refer you briefly to the voice of the three signs found in Exodus chapter 4 and expounded upon in reprint 4057. These signs picture the breadth and focus of the message that would allow our brethren living in the pastor's day to hear and obey the call to come out of her, my people. If you haven't considered this subject very carefully, we respectfully suggest that there might be a hole in your understanding of prophecy. We would highly recommend this article. The pastor felt that this subject was the key to understanding of many other prophetical subjects. And we'll leave that for your consideration. Now let us consider the subject of watching and watchers from the standpoint of Christian responsibility. From the standpoint of, one, we are our brother's keeper. How can we be our brother's keeper if we're not watching? Two, from John 15:12-13, we read, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. How do you exhibit this love? How do you lay your life down if you are not watching for the method and manner, the correct method and manner, and the opportunity to do it? From the aspect of a soldier's responsibility, we are Christian soldiers fighting a mighty warfare, one that we are not capable of winning on our own, except that God grants us strength, knowledge, wisdom, protection, exercises divine providence in all of our affairs, and then only as long as we follow the instruction of his holy word. We will see that watching is vital to this effort. Excuse me. And if we do not become skilled watchers, that is, watchers extraordinaire, we will fail to fight the battle correctly. We might think of the example of battlefield intelligence. If you have two armies of equal strength, or maybe there's one that possesses an advantage, the higher ground or whatever, what makes the difference in a battle? Well, it's the intelligence. It's those who go out and seek information that will give them an advantage before or during the battle. And so they have spies, and they have different things that go out and find out where the enemy positions are and so on, so that then they can fight the battle correctly to win. Ours is not too much unlike this. We have to be watchers. We have to be intelligent. We have to be delving into the things that our Father has given us to look into. We might think of this as quarterback preparation before a football game. He studies the plays of the other team. He studies the defenses. He studies how the attack will come, so that he can make the right call and defend his team and go on to victory. We might consider the story of David killing the lion and bear to protect his sheep. David was a faithful watcher against the lion and the bear. We may have to act as David did to defend the Lord's sheep from the roaring lion, the adversary, from wolves in sheep clothing, and those who arise among ourselves to deceive many. We cannot do this unless we are watching unceasingly with an understanding and critical eye for what is right and what is wrong. What does it mean to watch or to be a watcher? All of the words in the Old and New Testaments interpreted as watch, watching, watchers, or watchmen have the various thoughts of alertness, vigilance, guarding, looking out, preserving, besieging, soberness. From this we learn that this activity of watching is associated with protection, warning, a siege-like atmosphere. Indeed, we have learned that we are soldiers of Christ, pilgrims and strangers in this world. Our Lord tells us in John 15:19, if you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Yes, we are aliens, and we are out of place. While our physical eyes are used in this activity, they are only used through the eyes of faith. For we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 to 17, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. We are referring here to our spiritual eyes. They have been anointed with spiritual eye salve, Revelation 3:18. Our Lord tells us that our eyes are very special. In Matthew 3:16, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. The Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 to 19, that it is only through these eyes that we can comprehend our calling, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. That's the object. And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Why is watching so important? Revelation 16:15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Here, watching is directly related to keeping our garments, our robes on and unspotted. In 1 Thessalonians 5:1-28, we will not read this, but if you turn to it, you will see that the nature of these texts are admonitions and directly related to watching for events and the times and seasons of the Lord. We won't go into this in detail because it would step too much on our considerations tomorrow. But note in particular that times and seasons start out the chapter. Again, the chronology. The times and seasons of our Lord's divine plan of the ages. But But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief, knowing exactly the point in time when something happens, so that we are not overtaken. We are admonished to putting on the breastplate of faith and love and a helmet, hope of salvation. We are admonished to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. How are we supposed to do this? This is a commandment. How are we to know them that labor among you if we are not watching? If we're not watching for those that labor correctly. And as a result, we are to have peace among yourselves. Be at peace among yourselves. As a result of doing all these things, that's verse 13. We are admonished to warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak. Warn them from what? How could we do this if we weren't watching? Warn them of what? We are to rejoice evermore. Rejoice in what? How could we do that if we weren't watching? Prove all things. And we'll hear more about that tomorrow. And another phrase in here, give thanks. Give thanks for what? Well, of course, we know for the blessings the Lord has brought to us, but in order to see truly all the blessings and all the overruling providence of the Lord, we have to have a keen alertness and watching for those things in our lives. Luke chapter 12, verses 37 to 40. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find what? Watching. And what does he do? This is beautiful. Verily I say unto you that he will gird himself, the Lord himself will gird himself, and make them to sit down to milk. No, to meat. You know, there's a lot of connection in the scriptures with this meat. It isn't just Matthew chapter 24. And will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third and find them, blessed are those servants. And this know that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh or arriveth at an hour when ye think not. In order for us to be fed meat in due season, we must be watching. We are special. Satan himself will not know. A companion text is Matthew 24:28 regarding the carcass. The eagles gather to the carcass. How do they do that? Well, they are watching. What would happen to a vulture or an eagle if they stopped watching? Well, in the case of a vulture, they only get their food by watching for food provided. That's why I like the word really should be vulture. This is food provided. A vulture doesn't prey on anything. But if they stopped watching, they would soon be weakened. And they would be unable to use their wings anymore. And their wings would go down. And eventually they would fall to the earth, unable to ever take flight again. Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 to 13. We'll not read this. You're very familiar with it. The wise and the foolish virgins. But what did the foolish virgins fail to do? Verse 13. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. The result was that they were neglectful of the oil in their lamps. Matters of truth. So only the wise virgins, full of the Spirit of truth, will receive the light in season, and thus the greatest blessing. Why didn't the wise virgins share with the foolish virgins? Because normally we think if someone asks you for something, you share whatever you had, right? Well, that's not the storyline here. It's not the picture. Because then they, that is the wise virgins, would have had half-empty lamps and by definition not be living up to their responsibilities to the truth. It would indicate a compromising spirit towards the foolish virgins, like pretending that a room is fully lit when it is only half lit, or pretending that all harvest truth is not important and worth defending. Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 to 42. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the presence of the Son of Man be. And we'll not read the rest. But again, the emphasis here is that we are to watch for our Lord's times and seasons. Now, on the pastor's day, when he looked at this prophecy, he looked at this and he suggested that the main emphasis of this prophecy was not the continually evilness of Noah's day. And why did he suggest that? Because he didn't see it. He was watching. And so the main emphasis he made was that they would be unaware that the Son of Man arrived. And of course, that is still the main emphasis. But now we as watchers have seen what? We have seen an expansion and fulfillment of this prophecy even further. We have seen the days, and we are seeing this continuously evil develop. We are seeing the days of Lot. And so as watchers, then, we get even a greater blessing from this. We never want to stop watching. We never want to stop examining prophecy. Isaiah chapter 52, which we read earlier. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Look at all those things that involve the divine plan of the ages there in that first line. That publisheth peace, the peace that the kingdom brings or will bring. That bringeth good tidings of good, that salvation is at hand. First for the church, then for the world. And that our Lord has returned and he has begun his reign. The watchmen see these things. No one else. What do we watch for? Well, we've already covered the times and seasons of our Lord's return. Watching is also necessary in individual matters and church affairs. These are directly related to how well we watch for the times and seasons of our Lord and how well we discern truth matters. First, turn to Romans chapter 16, verses 17 to 18. 17 to 18. Now, I beseech you, brethren. Now, this is strong language. I beseech you, brethren. Mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Now, this is very focused, very specific, very demanding. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good works and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Now, shouldn't we be thankful that the Apostle Paul made this statement? We wouldn't go around and say of someone, even who did these things, that they serve their own bellies and use language of this, but the Apostle did, and we accept it. He's taken care of that matter for us. We don't have to wrestle with that. All we're told is that we have to mark those that cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which we have learned. And we have to do that. That is our obligation. Now, if you mark someone who's doing these things, when would you unmark someone? Have you ever thought about that? I have. And I've come to the conclusion that the only time you'd unmark someone is if they publicly apologized. If they publicly refuted the doctrinal errors that they were doing. Otherwise, you'd have no reason, you'd have no authorization to unmark them. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 to 19. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination. And what is the seventh? He that soweth discord among brethren. So we have this emphasis to Romans chapter 16. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 to 15, for such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. And, of course, there's a wonderful reference to vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord takes care of all those things and those judgments. We don't have to deal with those. But we are charged with recognizing these individuals. Now, these ministers of darkness will not come to us looking like ministers of darkness. They don't come that way. They will have smooth personalities and will present a cunning mixture of half-truths and errors. These will be easily identified if we have been watching. If we have studied to show ourselves approved, if we try the spirits, if our senses have been properly exercised by feeding from the Lord's prepared table of food, as provided to that wise and faithful servant, Brother Russell. And we would suggest to those who sometimes entertain the thought that some truths are important, some aren't, I wouldn't go down that road if I was you. Who gave any of us the authority to remove anything from the table that the Lord presents to us through that wise and faithful servant? I know nothing in Scriptures that gives us that authority. I don't see any reason to go down that line of thought. Hold it all precious. Hold it all pure. And of course, we have to be careful that we don't cause needless conflicts among brethren with an idle dickering about little details. We're not saying we should do that. Philippians chapter 3, verses 16 to 19. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for example. Now here we have another kind of marking that requires watching. Mark those who labor among you faithfully. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things and influences, we would add. Acts chapter 20, verses 28 to 31. Take heed therefore unto yourselves. You're all familiar with this. This is speaking of the wolves and those arising among yourselves speaking perverse things. Things contrary to the things that we have learned. And what are we instructed to do? Verse 31, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. This will happen. This has happened. It will happen again. We should be prepared and we should watch. Let us turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I'm going to turn to that also. We're not going to, because of time, consider it all. Just cut down our consideration here. But here we have, starting out in the first verse, it says, I charge thee therefore before God. Now this is the best possible advice that the apostle could give to the individual he called his beloved son, Timothy. He would want the very best for Timothy. We know that, don't we? From his own language. Therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, as appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Now, noting verse 2, how can we do these things that we are charged with if we are not alert and diligently watching? Well, the answer is we can't. Why do we want to be attentive to these difficult matters that are mentioned here? Why do we want to do it? Because we love our brethren. And to the extent of the abilities that God gives us, we want to prevent what is described in verses 3 to 5. We cannot emphasize truth too much, although some would have us think so. The truth is the basis for all that we have that is of value. Where truth has been downplayed or ignored, proper brotherly love has become confused by worldly versions of love. Usually it starts with seemingly small matters of truth or prophecy being called unimportant. In most of the cases that I have witnessed or heard of, these tendencies to compromise on so-called small items of truth become tendencies to compromise on large items of truth, because the senses of logic, wisdom, diligent study, and devotion to truth have been dulled. Under these conditions, those that exhibit proper love and make an effort to do what Timothy is charged with here are branded troublemakers and lacking in Christian love. Now note all the warnings in verses 7 to 22. You can note them for yourselves as you're looking at this. We'll just look at 14 to 18 for a second. Alexander the coppersmith did much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Now, note the beautiful spirit here. The judgment, the reward, is the Lord, but the obligation to identify Alexander is the apostles, the same as it would be for us to mark those that caused divisions. Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. At my first answer, no man stood with me. This might be our position, to be the first one to sound a warning, and at first no one stands with us. And then after careful consideration, the watchers figure it out. But not all. We'll often be in the minority. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. You see, the Apostle Paul felt this was instrumental to him making his calling election sure, faithfully endeavoring in this regard. Let us now consider Ezekiel chapter 33. And again, we don't have time to read it. But if you turn there, verses 1 to 6, this is the picture of the watchman. Now, the watchman was charged that if he saw an enemy approaching, that he was to sound a warning with a trumpet sound. And we have that trumpet sound. We do sound that trumpet sound. And if he sounded the warning and the people didn't heed him and they were damaged and hurt, the blood was on the hands of the people who didn't listen to the trumpet sound. But if the watchman didn't sound the trumpet and there was damage to the people, the blood was on the head of the watchman and on the people. It's an interesting lesson because it shows the responsibility here in this picture of the people and the watchman. And this is our obligation, to be watchmen. The Lord will require this of us, especially those who are given special talents in this area. But we all have a responsibility to watch, to warn, to protect, to guide, each according to his own ability. We have a similar scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 8. For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle? And so if there is a problem, let's be clear spoken about it. Let's plainly speak about it. Let's not dance around it so no one can understand it and give an uncertain sound. If it's important enough that it alarms us, speak about it plainly. Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 to 39. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth, but I came not to send peace, but a sword. I am come to send a man at variance against his father, etc., etc. And the man's foes shall be of his own house. Why is this so? Why is this statement made? It goes on. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. This is why. We might have to be tested in this regard. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. We will be put to this test to see if we can be trusted to be immortal priests and kings. What do we watch with and how do we watch? We've already mentioned our spiritual eyes, but what about our ears and our heart? Remember that our Lord included our ears as well as our eyes when he said, "Blessed are your eyes," Matthew 13:16. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 to 14. For whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for a time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become as such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, here the apostle emphasizes that acute, well-exercised hearing is vital to making progress in the narrow way, to becoming watchers, indicating that strong meat will not be given or understood by those with dull hearing. In fact, the embryo new creature will not reach maturity without becoming skillful with meat. Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 17. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Let us not be in the position of ignoring the Lord's trumpet of present truth or warnings from our brethren who labor among us. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Soberness implies careful consideration. Successful watching is impossible without accompanying prayer. And I guess our time is up. Is that correct? Very good. Okay. We'll refer you to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. Now, this is hard for brethren today, because the spirit of the world clamors for individual rights and preferences at any cost and at the expense of others. Submitting to others where our personal preferences are involved becomes a test. There are those among us who have a special ability to watch out for our welfare as concerns matters of the church. These have the scriptural qualifications as elders, not qualifications made up by men. As considered earlier, we must mark these individuals for their particular talent in the body and support them, always proving all things, holding fast that which is good, 1 Thessalonians 5:21. And we will just refer you to Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with prayer and supplication and watching thereunto with all perseverance. And once again, prayer and watching are associated together. But in addition, we are to watch for opportunities of prayer for brethren and service. Psalm 127:1, we will close with, and with Proverbs 8. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh in vain. The point here is that we must be watching out for the matters that concern the Lord's house, not for other things. Any of our activities in the world or with family must be done within the context of our Christian responsibilities. And finally, Proverbs chapter 8, verses 32 to 35. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. May the Lord add his blessing.
Thank you, Brother David. Thank you for our labors, your labors on our behalf and for watching for us this morning. Sometimes we like to eat a light breakfast, but if we're going to rate this a spiritual breakfast, I feel like I've had steak, eggs, hash browns, sausage, biscuits, and gravy. That too. Thank you, Brother Tony. And we take the admonitions to heart. We've had several messages along these lines of concern for the brotherhood, and truly we are our brother's keeper, and that delineates many responsibilities in Christian life, watching out for one another with the health of Christian doctrine, morality, practice, zeal, work in the Lord's service. The Lord is sending us a clear message at this convention, and we're thankful for it. Let's close with Brother David's selection of hymn number 317. We'll arise on the last verse and be led in closing prayer by Brother David.